From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Long before the Mayflower landed at Cape Cod Bay, pilgrims walked across Persia, India, and Greece to consult with the gods at holy places. Early Christians continued the tradition and turned the pilgrimage into a metaphor for making one's way through the world. The pilgrim aspired to follow an inner path, guided by the Spirit, from a state of wretchedness to blessedness. We've been following a literary magazine that draws on all these traditions. The Pilgrim publishes writing by homeless people, many of whom congregate at Boston's historic Cathedral of St. Paul. The Pilgrim recently celebrated its first anniversary of publication and holds its first public reading on December the 5th at the Brookline Booksmith in Brookline, Massachusetts. We spoke to James Parker, editor of The Pilgrim, and also contributing editor to The Atlantic, along with Dave and Paul, two regular writers for the magazine, who asked that we withhold their last names. Dave has been homeless for about 15 years. I asked him how he ended up living on the streets.
My wife passed away and just a lot of stuff. Criminal background, you know, just a lot of trouble. I was a bad person when I was young.
So have you written a lot about that experience? I'm curious as to what you all are writing about in The Pilgrim.
I wrote a story I got here about living on the streets of Boston.
Would you like to read it for us?
I sure would. All right. By the way, my name's Dave. And I once had a dream, and being homeless wasn't it. I'm not writing this for anyone to feel sorry for me. I'm writing it to release what's in my life and thoughts. So this is my life. I can't really tell you how long I've been on the streets. It's been many, many years. I don't call myself street smart. I call myself streetwise. I'm a night walker and a day sleeper. I see a lot. I ask God why I haven't had an answer yet. Late at night, mostly, is where I see the real homeless. Most of them are mentally disturbed. They are loners and stay by themselves. As I walk and I see this, I pray hard for them. And I am afraid, as I write this, that I'm becoming one of them. I'm a loner. I keep my back to the walls so I can see everyone. I keep them up front always. And by the way, I've upgraded. I now live under a bridge with my best friend, Steve.
What was your dream?
I guess like everybody else, have a home, family. That was my dream.
Did this come to you in one session, or do you guys work through these pieces?
I'm a little hyper, so I really don't write in the class. I prefer to, like, I go into church and sit by myself, and I just pick up a pen and I start writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't write, like, fake stories, so I always write about myself or somebody in need. I've learned a lot from this, you know, through James.
Had you ever written before?
Believe it or not, no.
Yeah. Paul, I think that I did speak to James before we're talking today, and he told me that you had written before. Did I get that right?
Yeah, sort of. I've never published anything until The Pilgrim came out, but I've been scribbling ink for quite a while.
Tell me about your experience. How long have you been homeless, or if you can tell us how you ended up there?
Off and on for 22 years. Just a transient. That's just how I was raised.
Where do you stay now?
Yeah, I'll get to that when I read.
Okay, I'd like to hear your reading then. What have you got to share with us?
I have The Ironies of Literary Life.
Let's hear it.
As you may already know, gentle reader, I am homeless. I am also a writer. And my sleeping spot as of late, the place where I do my concrete waltzing, has been, wait for it, the doorway of a Staples copy shop. Can you believe it? Even in my slumbers, I surround myself with ink and paper. I write in my spare time. I write in the Black Seed Writers Group. Every Friday, I work on my sci-fi novel. As Billy Crystal says in Throw Mama from the Train, a writer writes. Always. And when I tell people where I sleep, they all laugh and tell me how ironic it is. But is it really so surprising that I camp where I do? Here's the bad part, though. All that ink and paper, right there, just begging me to combine it into a brilliant work. All right there, just beyond the glass.
Awesome.
That's Paul reading from something that he wrote for The Pilgrim. It's called The Ironies of the Literary Life. I'm wondering, both of you, I heard, difficulties, but also a kind of sense of humor. Do you have to cultivate that for your writing or for your living?
Both.
Yeah, both.
It's kind of a necessity. If you don't have a good sense of humor, you're going to be battling depression. The humor just helps.
Does it help to write about it? Does it help when you're sort of putting pen to paper?
Oh, absolutely. It's a good way to vent.
My psychiatrist gives me good meds.
Well, how about you, James? James, here.
I'm actually not on medication, strangely.
But you've been writing for many, many, many years, and I'm wondering, you know, when you first read, I guess, tell me a little bit about the origins of this group. I've got the Black Seed Writers Group. Is that how it started?
Well, we were all on this pilgrimage end of last year, last November, 1 year, from the Cathedral of St. Paul downtown to a monastery retreat center out in West Newbury, Mass, run by the Society of St. John the Evangelist. So we walked for 3 days, and then we stayed with the brothers up there for a night. And in the middle of that night, I had a dream, and I've been trying to think of a name for some sort of magazine or newsletter or some sort of, you know, literary enterprise to attempt with these guys. And I woke up, bang, 3 o'clock in the morning. The Pilgrim, yes. So we came back, and almost immediately we started writing. We met, our first meetings were in the Black Seed Cafe, which is right next to the cathedral. And the first one, I think, was just me and Paul. I think it was just the two of us. And then, but then gradually it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it got too big for the Black Seed. And now we meet once a week, Tuesday mornings, 9:30, outside the cathedral, and we write. And then once a month we publish The Pilgrim, and we're just about to do the 9th issue, try and do 10 this year. That's the idea.
We're talking with Dave and Paul, two writers for The Pilgrim magazine, which publishes essays, poems, and writings of homeless people, and with James Parker, who's editor of The Pilgrim. Something I heard in both what Dave and Paul wrote is that people kind of pass by you. What do you think that the person who does walk by you on the street misses about who you are?
That's kind of a hard question, actually. I gotta be honest. There's a lot of goodness in Boston, because people really, you know, yeah, some do walk by. They might throw, you know, smart comments, but then you got people walk by and throw money at you. You know what I mean? Or say, here, God wants you to have this. You know. But now, like I said, I'm under a bridge, so nobody sees me.
And you're also a published author, Dave. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, you know, yeah. A lot of people, I guess, they like what I write, because I write from the heart. Like I said, I can't make up stories, you know, science fiction and all that. So I write about people, you know, and it's mostly about homeless stuff, you know. In fact, I'm in the process right now of videotaping our bridge, and hopefully going to post it on Facebook.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So do other people live there with you, or is it just you?
No, me and my best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, we got it hooked up. We live up in the rafters. Me and him put a bunch of plywood up in there, so we actually climb right up into the bridge. We got trash pails filled with water, so that's our water supply. And then we got a 2-burner Coleman stove, you know, so... We pretty much survive, you know. It gets cold at night, but we're survivors, you know.
I wonder about your experience of the writers group. You know, there's a process, obviously. There's a discipline. You have to show up. What else? What does it require of you?
Patience. Lots and lots of patience. There's quite a few writers sitting around one big table in a small room, and concentration gets broken very easily. So it has its challenges of meeting in a big group like that.
I wonder if you bat ideas off of each other sometimes. There's something that I read earlier in The Pilgrim. I think it was by someone called Hector.
Oh, yeah. Hector just showed up for 1 week. I mean, that's part of the glory of the group, actually. I never know who's going to be there. I mean, I've got my regulars, you know, who I can count on, like these guys. But then there'll be other weeks when there's two or three people who I've never seen before, and I've no idea how they heard about it, and they just roll in. Sometimes they stay for a bit, month or two. Sometimes they're just there for one session. Hector was just there for one session, and he wrote a very lovely piece, and I hope he comes back, but I mean, I haven't seen him since.
He did write something about, you know, like he's losing his way, and then he goes to see his brothers at the church. So
yeah.
Obviously they get something out of, you know, the camaraderie.
Yeah, well, it's a, you know, I mean we try and keep it as friendly as we can in there and as welcoming as we can, because that's the point. I mean, it's supposed to be a safe place to do your thing.
But as Dave mentioned a minute ago, you know, a lot of people who are homeless are mentally ill, and sometimes he fears that for himself. Does that present problems when you're meeting as a group and trying to work creatively together?
What do you think?
Not really. We live with these people. We go to the different mills together. Everyone's pretty much calm when we're together and in the church, because we're all focused on our writing and on who gets the next cup of coffee, things like that.
Yeah, we haven't had problems. Touch wood, we never had any problems in there.
So. Yet.
Yeah. Clang, clang.
Well, James, you know, you as the editor here, this is, to me, a body of literature, works of literature and writing that I have never really seen before. What's the experience been like for you?
It has been a complete buzz, and I'm so proud of my dudes here. I mean, it's just really been exceptional to be able to spend this time with them and to help them get this stuff out and help people read this stuff. At first it was, you know, it was like, oh my God, they've written something. That's incredible. But now it's like, look what they've written. Oh my God. So, it gets better and better, actually, for me.
Well, that's so interesting, because I was just looking earlier at, you know, the archive of some of the things that you've covered for The Atlantic. It's just a great breadth of thing, a lot about music, a lot about writers, about popular culture, from 50 Shades of Grey to Martin Amis. And this is the thing that you find the most interesting.
Oh, you by a mile. Anybody can read 50 Shades of Grey, but I mean, who gets to sit, you know, with Dave and Paul and listen to their stories and you know, help them? I mean, as much as I'm not a teacher, I should emphasize that. I've never taught anybody anything. But you know, I do provide the paper and the pens. I mean, literally, that's what I do, right? I give them the paper, and then we just sit there and they just write. I mean, I don't instruct editorially. I'll spell check it. I'll do some grammar a little bit, only a little bit. Sometimes if I know them quite well and I know there's something that they're trying to say that I haven't quite got to and I know what it is, then I'll say that. But I have to know them well if I'm going to take that liberty.
He's fibbing because my spelling is bad.
Yeah, but I understand it, right?
Yes.
So that's the main thing.
Well, what do you guys think? Can James hang? I mean, you guys have been living on the streets for a long time. How's he hold up?
Yeah, he's like a brother to us, you know. He's very, actually his whole family is, you know, there's a lot of love between everybody, and James is always there for us, you know, his wife, you know, his little son, and, you know, it's an awesome group that we hang with.
Where do you hope to go with the Pilgrim? What do you hope happens?
Well, just, you know, gently, subscriber by subscriber. I mean, more and more people. I mean, you know, it's people sort of need to read this in a sense, but also, I mean, if I knew nothing about it and somebody put it in my hand, I'd think, my God, what a fantastic magazine. How extremely interesting. So I think more people should have that, have the chance to experience that.
It's real is what it is.
It's real.
We get to speak and actually be heard. It's like we get so much comments like, wow, how can you open your heart to the public you don't even know, you know? And people need to, you know, hear and see what's really going on out there.
More people should read it. It's the word from the people living on the street. And the more people that read it, that's that many more people that will actually understand what we're going through being homeless.
One thing that I always say to these guys is that they experience their lives quite often in terms of boredom and you know, routine and grind. And I'm always trying to emphasize to them that what they see as boring is quite often completely fascinating to the general reader if it's only described fully and you know, gone into. So that's something that we try and do. Right, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
You're still with us. All right, so I have a question. It's Thanksgiving week. I'm wondering what you're grateful for, respectively.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm actually grateful for St. Paul's. You know, we're having a big, big Thanksgiving meal there, which is out of this world. Hundreds of people show up, homeless, non-homeless, rich, you know what I mean? And, you know, the Black Seed, where we started writing, they actually donate all these turkeys and cook them for us. And, I mean, it's just you know, one big party. So I'm grateful for them, and I'm just grateful to be here.
How about you, Paul?
Me? I'm grateful for the grace that God gives us. I'm
Amen.
Grateful for the community that I live in, and I'm grateful for the community within the church that is my family.
James, anything you'd like to add?
I'm just grateful. I mean, we've been doing this almost a year, and we're all still in pretty good shape. We're all well. We're all, you know, functioning, getting it done. So I'm delighted about that. I'm very grateful for everything associated with this.
Well, I am absolutely grateful for having spoken to all of you today. Thank you so much to Dave.
Thank you.
And to Paul.
It's been a pleasure.
And to you, James Parker. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Virginia. I'm a pilgrim, and a stranger,
traveling through this old barren land. James Parker is contributing editor to The Atlantic and editor of The Pilgrim. Dave and Paul are both writers for The Pilgrim, and they will be reading with others when The Pilgrim celebrates its first anniversary, with its first public reading on Wednesday, December 5th at 7 at the Brookline Booksmith in Brookline, Massachusetts. We do have details on the reading at wordofmouthradio.org. So very much to be grateful for, including your time and attention for listening. Thanks so much for being with us today. Please join us again tomorrow for a special Thanksgiving holiday edition of Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Zach Nugent,
Virginia Prescott,
and senior producer Rebecca Lavoie,
with web support from Sarah Plort.
Andrew Perella, that's me,
provides technical support.
And Dan Kogan runs our board.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR.
Its board of trustees or its underwriters.
That's right.
For information about the show, to subscribe to our podcast, post a comment, or to read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
Or join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Cool.
Thank you.
This barren land, I'm not worried, but I got a home. You're in a city, and I'll do the best I can. Just over Jordan, Lord have mercy, I can see Canaan on the other side. Listen, and when I get there, take my stand. Lord, I'll do the best I can. But I got a home. You're in the city, and I'll do the best I can.